Hello and welcome to another podcast from SearchCompliance.com. I'm Alex Howard, Associate Editor at SearchCompliance.com. With me today are Jerry Young, CIO of the Massachusetts Office of Consumer Protection and Business Regulation, and David Murray, General Counsel at the same office. Both state officials have kindly joined me today to talk about Massachusetts' new data protection law, 201 CMR 17, Standards for the Protection of Personal Information of Residents of the Commonwealth. The law was originally set to take effect on January 1st. The new regulation defines standards to be met by all persons who own, license, store, or maintain personal information about a resident of the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. You can find the full text of the statute at mass.gov. We've also provided a hyperlink to it on the launch page for this podcast. Jerry and David, thank you for taking time from your Friday afternoon to talk about the new law. Can you talk about what prompted the legislation? I assume that the TGX data breach and similar identity theft was at play.
Although it's not clear in the face of the legislation, one can assume that the legislature in Massachusetts took a look at the state of protection for the kind of personal information that's defined in the statute and came to the conclusion that the status quo was simply not good enough and that greater protections were needed for Massachusetts residents, and therefore set in motion the statutory framework for the promulgation of these regulations.
Thank you. So what are some best practices that CIOs, CTOs, and system administrators should follow in achieving and maintaining IT compliance with the new law?
Well, part of what the stated intent of the regulation was to establish broad parameters within which information security and the protection of consumer information should occur. And those are broad parameters. They are intended to be solution and vendor agnostic in the sense that no part of the regulation, even when it speaks of encryption, it doesn't regulate what kind of encryption you need to follow. So it's a broad framework within which best practices in the information security area should occur.
Okay. As I understand the statute, these broad parameters include secure user authentication protocols, secure access control measures, encryption on all networks where data is transmitted wirelessly, monitoring encryption of portable devices, firewall protection of databases containing personally identifiable information, system security software, and education and training. On that last point, education and training, as the state has noted, this law applies to huge enterprises like EMC, all the way down to mom-and-pop coffee shops and other small businesses that may have wireless networks and take credit cards. Will the Commonwealth provide classes or other help? And if so, how will the Commonwealth address concerns about the cost of encryption software or firewalls?
I'll let Jerry talk about the costs of encryption and firewalls, but I just want to be clear so that there isn't any confusion about what the encryption obligations relate to. They don't relate to devices, but to information, so that if on your laptop you had no personal information stored, there would be no requirement for encrypting that laptop. It's just in instances where there is personal information being stored that the encryption requirement gets activated. Perhaps I can just add that, no, the state is not sponsoring classes as such, but we have a very substantial outreach program in place that Jerry and I are engaged with, where we're talking to trade associations, to consumer groups, to a wide range of entities that are interested primarily because, of course, they have members who need to comply with these regulations.
Are you posting where you'll be appearing to educate people further? I know you've been going to different parts of the Commonwealth to talk to different user groups. I missed you this past week at the Boston Network Users Group because of the snow, unfortunately. Is there a schedule that people can access at mass.gov?
Well, we're in the process of putting up a list of where we're going to be. But, of course, in many instances, we are the guests of the organizations holding those presentations. So that's an important factor in terms of access.
Okay, thanks. I'll look for that list at mass.gov. With respect to enforcement, I called the Attorney General's office, and while they weren't willing to comment further, enforcement of the statute appears to be coming from there. With respect to assessment, do you anticipate sending out agents to go to each business and go down a checklist? What should businesses expect from the Commonwealth, and how can they make the process of a compliance audit as painless as possible?
This office, the Office of Consumer Affairs and Business Regulation, has not been given any authority by the legislature to enforce any measures in connection with the protection of information. What we were tasked with by the legislature was to promulgate the regulations that we have, 201 CMR 17, and it's the role, the exclusive role of the Attorney General to enforce those provisions. Now, she, I believe, is in the process of developing her own enforcement policy that obviously would affect many of the issues that you've raised. So we cannot provide you with the kind of information that would let those interested in what they needed to do in order to be on the right side of the enforcement policy. We simply don't have the information to give you on that. That's the Attorney General.
The new law states that every person that owns, licenses, stores, or maintains personal information about a resident of the Commonwealth shall develop, implement, maintain, and monitor a comprehensive written information security program applicable to any records containing such personal information. What will such a plan look like? How should small businesses and large enterprises approach creating and maintaining one?
Part of what we're in the process of doing is working hand-in-hand with the Enterprise Security Board that was invested by Executive Order 504 with responsibility for establishing the framework and policies and procedures related to information security. That working group is in the process of rolling out templates so that these kinds of information security plans can be promulgated in a consistent fashion across organizations. So, yes, there is a template work in progress.
That template that Jerry just talked about, of course, is for government agencies. We have up on our website a small business guide that attempts to highlight some of the important things that one would need to include in a written program. We have particularly refrained from being too specific because, and that's intentional, because we want to preserve flexibility on the part of businesses as to how they go about complying with the requirements and the regulations.
Thank you. And then one last question here, and this is a little bit more abstract, but as I understand it, the law protects the personal information about residents of the Commonwealth. That information, because of the nature of the internet and electronic data, could reside certainly in any of the other 49 states in the U.S. and certainly beyond our national borders. How would the state address those sorts of issues? I mean, again, that sort of question may rest more with the Attorney General's office, but the scope of the law would appear to make it one of the most strict in the world. And in the same way that some of the laws regarding notification around data breaches in California have now extended, do you think or anticipate that the restrictions and guidelines placed here will cascade elsewhere?
I guess the way that we approach it is as follows. The statute that, as I said before, tasked us with promulgating these regulations does not restrict the geography, its protection. So we wrote the regulations consistent with that approach. Now, obviously, there is a question as to how the state will enforce the law and the regulations. Inherent in questions of the scope of enforcement will be the extent to which geography is going to affect the enforcement effort. Those are questions that are at the core of the kind of policies that the Attorney General is developing. We have no authority with respect to those issues.
Okay, last question. Do you have any plans to educate software companies or developers that are creating software that enables encryption, firewalls, or other, say, log management software, for instance, that's helpful in compliance audits? Do you have any guidance for them in terms of the creation of applications that might help with this or any kind of certification process that might be out there? And again, you've created broad guidelines, but you know, for businesses that are trying to pick and choose, are there any basic features that they should be looking for?
I'll let Jerry do the technical piece of the answer to this. From my point of view, as the lawyer here, you know, those regulations don't contain arcane language or concepts that are difficult to comprehend, we don't think. And therefore, we think that most, if not all, people who are technical people who are in this field will understand exactly what 17.04 is trying to put in place, or actually says must be put in place. And to the extent that 17.03 has tentacles that stretch into the electronically stored information, that those provisions, I think, are self-evident. But I'll let Jerry pick up on that.
Well, part of what I think it's important that folks understand how Massachusetts is framing the whole issue of ID theft, of personal information. It is viewed within the Commonwealth as a subset, part and parcel, of Executive Order 504. So they both address security, and the ID theft provisions under 201 CMR 17 are seen to be a subset of the larger Executive Order 504. As we proceed with implementing strong security, the Enterprise Security Board, as I mentioned, is drawing on industry best practice, and David alluded to this earlier. There's nothing that we've encountered in the public information sessions that would lead us to believe that the IT organizations in any of the organizations that we've seen so far don't view this public best practice as a roadblock. It's just drawn on ISO 27001, 27002 standards, and so there's nothing really unique about what Massachusetts is doing. I mean, IT people, whether they be software developers or network security engineers, they know the blocking and tackling that goes along with information security.
I should note for our listeners that the entire text of the law is posted at mass.gov, as is 504. I know that 201 CMR 17 is there. I think I'd have to go down and look for the other one as well. Well, is there anything else you would want to make sure that IT administrators and compliance officers are aware of?
Just that there are documents on our website. If you go to mass.gov, to the Office of Consumer Affairs and Business Regulation, hit the For Business tab on the lower left. There is a link, Identity Theft, I think, is the link. That link will pose a number of documents that I think would be helpful.
Okay. Thank you very much, gentlemen.
Can I just make one closing comment?
Of course.
That I think is an important clarification. The way that the regulation is structured is it targets specifically personal information. But organizations have the option, if they have not gone through a data classification effort, so that they don't understand where that personal information resides within their own computer systems, then they have the option of declaring all of their data to be personal information and protect across the network. But it is targeted specifically at personal information.
That's an important clarification. Thank you.